Hello. Welcome to this week's Mood Swings. I'm going to keep this intro as brief as I can. A few things to say, though. Thank you very much, first of all, for the for your continued support. We reached 20,000 listens last week. It was a bit of a weird one. It was kind of, I noticed on a day where the episode of that week had been out for a couple of days by that point. And as you can probably guess, when an episode goes out, you know, that we get a big boost of listens with a new episode going out. So I wasn't sure whether I was going to get there, in honesty, the day I discovered it. I kind of thought, well, let's try and get this up to that target today. And I was unsure. And then at one point it looked like it wasn't going to happen. And then I went and I trained at the gym. And I came out and I looked back at my phone at the stats. And we were like over 130 or something over the target at that point. So it was a massive surge in listens. Don't know whether that was just because people actually listened or whether the people that collate the stats, whether there's a delay on that and then the world has been collated and it came up, but whatever, it was a really nice surprise and absolutely brilliant to get to 20,000 downloads. It's crazy to think about that many people or that many times someone's chosen to listen to a Mood Swings podcast. So thank you very much for all listening. If this is your first time, thanks for listening to you too, and keep coming back, hopefully, and we can get to even more thousands of listens. It'd be brilliant. I ran a wee competition saying if you tag me in your Instagram story with your listening to a podcast, you get a free t-shirt or dress. So well done to Nicole, who won that. You can shoot me a message and get your free t-shirt or dress, or, well, that's all the options, as I say, or whatever you want, but I don't have anything else to give. Okay, so this week's episode is with K.A. Sutherland. K.A. is a PT and an online PT, and does all sorts of like bodybuilding, I suppose is the correct phrase. And in a couple of weeks she's got a competition, a bodybuilding competition that she is entering into. So we speak a bit about that, and we speak a bit about K.A. We speak about online trends and trends in general with the industry she's in, and PT and health and well-being and fitness and how it all ties in, and just a bit about mental health and social media, and it's a bit of everything in there, I think. We kind of sat out without a plan and it was good. Covered quite a lot of things. And also, Katie's going to be coming back on. We discussed this before we recorded this one. Going to be coming back on after she's completed her show. In preparation for her show, she's got to go through some quite extreme dieting and things like that that are going to have to be quite intense, emotionally, physically, and obviously mentally. So we decided it'd be interesting for her to come back on and speak about that experience. And obviously, you've got to be very driven to do these things. So, yeah. Be good to have her back on and speak about that. So if you enjoy this one, check back in a month or 6 weeks or 2 months even. I'm going to Thailand for 2 weeks, so it might be delayed. But yeah, we'll have another one out with Kay in the next couple of months. I hope you enjoy it. And thanks to Kay for taking part. And thanks to you guys all for listening 20,000 times. Cheers. Sutherland.
Hi.
And you're going to tell us what you do again, because I've forgotten all.
So I'm going to try and say it without babbling on too much. So I'm a personal trainer at Aberdeen Combat Centre and an online coach. I've been a personal trainer 3 years now.
What does the online coaching element, what does that entail?
So what's good about the online coaching is that you're not restricted to the amount of people that you can work with and the amount of people that you want to help. So as a coach, you want to make sure the people you're taking on, you're educating them in health, fitness and nutrition, as well as helping them reach their goals. So a lot of coaches will hand them their email, ask them a couple of questions, put together a plan and just get them to follow a plan. And the follow plan, usually it's called the 12-week shred. In 12 weeks, you're never going to reach your goals, but in 12 weeks, you can progress in your goals.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that if you follow the plans and you know the advice that's given to you. Online coaching is great because I get to work with people potentially all over the world. I've actually got a client in America at the moment. I've got people in other countries that I work with.
What's the most obscure place you've got someone to work with?
Right now, I'm working with a guy from North Carolina. That's
okay.
The furthest I went. But I have had people message me from Australia and things like that. I get through Instagram, so that's where people message me. So I've been building a fitness page through there, say for quite a few years now. And I never expected to get so many followers. So I'm at about 12,000 followers. On the grand scheme of things, you know, it's not huge. But as a personal trainer, I want to have a positive impact on other people out there that don't know a lot about health and fitness. So I post every single day about me and my journey and what I can do to help other people. So that's where I usually pick up people through online coaching, is through there.
How long have you been doing the online side of it as opposed to just like the one-on-one?
The online side of it, I started May last year. And I'm a very busy one-to-one PT. So it's not been a huge, huge base for me.
Yeah.
But it's something that I am delving into more. I absolutely love face-to-face, but it's good being able to help a lot more people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not like, you don't have a bracket on the amount of people that you're helping educate out there and make positive changes in their life when you're doing online.
Yeah.
Alan doesn't know how to be quiet, does he?
I mean, we've recorded in like pubs before. Not us, not me and you.
Yeah.
But in like, I've recorded podcasts in like pubs and stuff before.
Yeah.
But normally they're not about fitness. So this is like a mixed bag.
Yeah.
But at least we've got the noise of like a rowing machine in the background and stuff. So it's keeping it kind of like on brand,
yeah,
I suppose.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's very true.
What was I going to ask you there? Yeah, I think like in general, I've seen a lot more about fitness and stuff being pushed like online. So like even like in Muay Thai and stuff like that,
you
see a lot of like PTs even at that side of things, like putting like online programs or doing like training through online stuff. Why do you think the industry is like, an industry is so physical and so based on like face to face, but how do you think it's having so much success online as well?
Again, because I think social networking is, you know, the new way to be successful, because you can reach way more people. The issue with your online coaches, it's so easy for a coach to copy and paste and immediately charge someone £50 or whatever their price bracket is. So it's important when you get an online coach, especially for anybody out there who's looking to get one, make sure they actually take an interest in you, so they don't just care about your end goal. If you say to that coach, I want to lose £12, that's great, they'll give you some hit plan or something like that they've sold to 50 other people. When I'm taking on people online, it's so important I learn everything about their lifestyle, their current habits, bad habits, good habits, their sleep pattern, their work pattern, whether they have family, that lifestyle, you know, you have to take into consideration, because that's the only way their plans are going to work, as if it works around their lifestyle. You can't give someone who works 3 12-hour shifts a week, can't have them going to the gym those days for an hour and a half after. They're going to be absolutely exhausted. So you need to make sure that you're working in their plans out with that. But also on those days, you know, still getting them to contribute towards their fitness goals, for example, on those days, giving them steps to hit, making sure every day that they're focusing on the calories going in and out and things like that.
Yeah. Would just like going back to something you said at the start there, like what kind of things do you need to know about sleep? That's something I think people don't realize.
Sleep is so important. Sleep, I'd say that's number one. You know, that affects your mood, your energy, even your eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I am really tired, I overeat. I just sit at home and I want to eat. And it's just a habit I've gotten into over a long period of time. At this current moment in time, I'm not doing it because I'm on prep, but at home I would usually do it. It's really important that you take the time. I'd say what I currently do is I set a bedtime. I try and set a bedtime. And I try and set a time to get up.
That's another thing about like sleep cycles as well, though. Like I read a thing about how like you sleep in, like, most people have like 4-hour sleep cycles, where you, like, you go from like obviously like falling asleep, and then into deeper sleep, and then you go through like a cycle. Then you come like it's like a 4-hour cycle, so you're meant to go through 2 cycles and an 8-hour sleep. And if you're woken up in the middle of like a cycle, so you got 6-hour sleep instead of 8. That's when you wake up feeling like really foggy.
Yeah,
lethargic.
It's sort of like a disco nap. I think naps are important. I think naps are the savior of everything. And if you have time to have a nap throughout the day, have time to, you know, restore your energy and have a nap throughout the day. Make sure that you are getting a decent amount of time to sleep. Because that will, if you wake up in the morning, you've barely slept, no one is in a good mood when they wake up in the morning, which then that's going to affect your whole day. You're not going to have energy to train later on. You're not going to, you know, care about what you're eating that day. You're just sort of going to be in the mood, well, oh, fuck it, I can't be bothered today. And then that's where you sort of get into a bad spiral, downward spiral of things. I'd say the first things to focus on, it's not just that for your energy, but also for your mental health, is sleep. So sleeping, eating, you know, what bad habits you have, and don't completely cut out the bad habits. A lot of people think dieting, you need to literally cut everything out and go cold turkey. That is the wrong way to do it, and that is how you're going to binge. So if I have a client who likes to drink full fat Coke every day, I'm not going to say to her, completely cut out the Coke, change it up for Diet Coke or Coke Zero. You know already all those calories they'll have saved every single day.
Yeah.
The next week they're going to be in a better position. So it's about just working with your habits. You can't completely cut a habit. They say it takes 21 days to get a habit set in stone. So it's going to take you 21 days to sort of help progress that habit into a better place.
Yeah. Happy with that?
Ah, you okay? It's okay.
Just thinking about Coke Zero now. My absolute favourite.
Coke Zero, Pepsi Max. I'm obsessed with Pepsi Max.
Yeah, do the cherry one.
No, I'm standard. I like the normal one, but I probably have too much of it. That's another thing. You know, as a personal trainer, people will be to me like, when I go on like nights out and things like that, like, oh my god, why are you out? Like, you're a personal trainer, you know. I wouldn't be a good personal trainer if I wasn't living a normal lifestyle.
But what do you suggest to people? How do people, when they get into fitness, maintain, like you say, part of their own lifestyle, but balance that with introducing like new habits as well?
So, firstly, write down what your current habits are and where you feel you're not so much going wrong, but you could do less of.
Do you find people are generally honest with themselves about what they're...
Absolutely not, and that's the issue. Like, you know, a personal trainer, I think people come to PT expecting us, you know, it to be an easy, quick fix to reach your goals. It's not going to be easy, it's going to be tough, but you need to give your personal trainer 50% as well. But you also need to give yourself that, you need to hold yourself accountable. I don't believe people are always honest, and you should never accuse anyone of anything, but if you're going to lie, you're only lying to yourself. But then, I don't want you to punish yourself. Like I said, I don't want you to punish yourself for having a cookie, having a bag of crisps. I think it's absolutely obscene when people say, I've not had a biscuit in 5 days. Why you not had a biscuit? Like, why deprive yourself of that? If you're, you know, doing well, changing habits, going to the gym, you know, getting your calories up, treat yourself with that biscuit. I do believe you can't out-train a bad diet. That it's impossible. Like, you know, your body requires a sufficient amount of nutrients in order to function well. So if you're supplying your body with that, then fair enough, go and treat yourself, but don't deprive yourself from a glass of wine, chocolate biscuit, a bag of crisps, or anything like that. That you're never going to be able to stick to that, ever. And no, any personal trainer says they do are lying. because I don't. Other than if my coach is listening, which he probably will be, this prep I have, but it's a completely different goal.
Yeah.
What I am doing to someone who just has the goal of getting fitter, feeling better mentally, looking better physically. My goal is an unrealistic goal over a long period of time. And in fitness, in your health and fitness journey, you need to be realistic with your goals.
So, like, we can talk a bit about what you're going through just now. Like, not going through, in the sense of you're being, like, forced into it, but, like, what you're prepping for just now, we can talk about. But do you think it's important that people register that, like, if they see someone like yourself who's prepping for competition or, like, obviously in the combat sense, someone's prepping for a fight,
yeah,
you see that these things aren't, like, long-term goals?
They're long-term. Yeah, they're not. They're short-term goals, sorry. And they're not realistic. That's the issue. We follow so many people on Instagram, and I do it myself, and immediately we demoralize ourselves by looking at other people's pages and the shapes that these people are in. But you have to remember, everybody has a different genetic makeup.
Yeah.
So don't compare one person to another. Not everybody can get abs and sustain abs. And if they do, usually, I'll be honest, you're living a very unhappy, bland life in order to keep a physique like that. So the people you're comparing yourself to on Instagram, they will spend the majority of their day training, the majority of their day eating foods that you actually wouldn't even want to eat. You know, super foods, no sauces, it's not a lifestyle that they'll be able to live for the rest of their life, and if they do, it's an extremely boring one.
Yeah.
So please don't sit and compare yourself to someone who's an athlete, especially. Like, they are an athlete. That is their job, that is their hobby, that is their full-time interest. You are, I don't want to say ordinary, because it doesn't make you not ordinary, if you're doing not doing what they're doing. But if you have a normal 9-to-5 job, and you know, you to go out weekends, they won't do that.
Yeah.
So you.
Well, they've been paid not to do that, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
The incentive is money. Money is what makes the world go round, and all these people with massive followings are earning an obscene amount of money as well at the same time to look like that. Why punish yourself mentally? Through an app of how other people look. We're all completely different. And female, especially, I find a lot of people punish themselves after they've had kids too.
Yeah.
And this is a big thing. Again, we're genetically different. Some people are very lucky. They'll give birth, they'll go straight back to the body they used to have, and some people won't. It does come down to genetics. Again, you can help. And progress and lose weight and things like that, but you might not always get back to the body that you used to have. And I'll be honest with a client when they come in and ask me, you know, and it's hard for me to say yes or no, because again, I don't know their genetic buildup, so it's all trial and error.
Yeah.
Everything, you can't expect things to work first time, you know, it's everything is trial and error. So it's at the same time, if you don't see your goals first time or don't lose the same weight every single week, with don't punish your personal trainer, you know.
Yeah.
We're getting to learn our own bodies and how they work, but we're also getting to learn yours as well. So it's, everybody's different.
Is it difficult not being able to deliver like any certainties when like people are putting maybe so much faith in you? And they're looking at you for answers, and you really like, obviously you can't give people like, you can give them like guidance and like what you think or what you, based on your knowledge, what you expect will happen, but you can't give them any certainties.
It is. It can be stressful at times, but then again, I think it's unrealistic of that person to expect a specific answer. Some people get upset when they don't hear what they want to hear. But a good personal trainer will be honest and tell them the truth. And I'm not saying being brutal about something, but a good personal trainer won't just be after your money and tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
They'll tell you the reality of things and what it's going to take to sort of get you there and what you need to do and tell you about all the shit days as well as the good days. Every day won't be a good day. Every day you're gonna have a point. Not every day, some days. Even as a PT, where you're like, oh, I'm done with this, I'm not seeing results. You can't expect to see the results every single week, but stick in there and you will see results over a period of time. Just always remember, today you were better than you were yesterday, and tomorrow you'll be better than you were today. So you just always got to think that way.
I don't know if that's always the case with me.
What?
I said, I don't know if that's always the case with me.
I know, no, but it's so, I know. There's
Friday I'm worse than I was Monday, like I've gone mad.
On a Friday?
Yeah.
What? Friday's the best day of the week.
Why is Friday the best day? Maybe I'm just being pessimistic.
Because, well, this is bad, I shouldn't say that, because it's the start of the weekend. But you know what? Again, it's unrealistic for me to say that you can be happy every day. I come across as a very happy person. Of course I have my down days, everyone does, and if you don't, I don't think that makes you human. And if you don't have down days, then you won't realise how good the good days are. Every day we're going to face obstacles in our life. You can't plan out your day. If you did, we would know where we're going. Like, you can plan out your day, but you don't know how exactly it's going to plan out. And if we did, we would know how everything was going to happen in our life, and that would take away the excitement. But I think every day you face obstacles, and if you can get over those obstacles each day, every single day, you're a stronger person. But don't punish yourself for having a shit day, and for having a shit day maybe eating a little bit more. Why punish yourself even more and then potentially make the next day worse?
Yeah.
You know, it's all just about picking yourself back up and starting again.
Yeah. So, like, before, you talked about how you went from being very active as, like, a younger person.
Yeah.
And then went into, like, an office job where you weren't so active. Was that just, did you just mean you weren't active in the job, or were you not doing any exercise?
So, I was crazily active. Like, our parents always put us to sports, and I don't know if that was just to get us out of the house. I'd probably do the same to get peace and quiet, because I think I was genuinely quite a bad behaved child. So I was doing each week martial arts, which I know a lot of you Muay Thai people won't say is an art.
I cried.
Yes.
I did cry for a bit when I was like,
but I saw Alan posted something about it not being a real...
Why did you want to do karate when you were a kid?
So me and my sisters and my dad done it as a family, and we all got to our first dan, which is a belt after black belt.
Okay.
And we started when we were 8, and then
your dad wasn't 8, I'm guessing.
No, my dad wasn't 8. He was doing well though for his age. Like, I think he started when he must have been about 40. Well, he's like 58 now. I gave up when I was 12, but alongside that I was a figure skater and dancer.
Yeah.
And I've figure skated since I was toddler, 4 or 5, and I just took to it naturally. Like, as soon as I was on the ice, that was me, you know, whizzing about, and it was something I loved, became really good at, became really successful in. Alongside a really good team of girls, where we went to the Scottish Championships, British Championships, then they went to go on to the World Championships. And I guess social life got in the way when I was 18. I thought social life was everything, and I gave all of that up.
Yeah.
I went into an oil and gas job, which in Aberdeen at the time, everybody done. You know, you were lucky to be put in an oil and gas job. Just done what was the norm. But I immediately hated the job when I was 18, and I sat at a desk, I'd done logistics, and every time the offshore guys came in, they'd bring us cookies, they'd bring us cakes, they'd bring us crisps, they'd bring us wine. So all of that got consumed every week.
Yeah.
And I went from having quite an athletic physique from doing sports for years to being in a sandwich day job, doing nothing. I didn't even know what the gym was when I was 18. Like, I didn't have a clue. Okay. And it wasn't until I was made redundant, I walked into Pure Gym, and I self-taught myself, and just started from there. So that was, I think, probably one of the best things that I had done. Going to a personal trainer is very good if you don't have confidence. They'll help you gain that confidence, as well as teach you training and about nutrition and things like that. But I just self-taught myself because I felt I had the confidence too, and that was where I then got into PT. And decided that I wanted to help other people rather than be sat behind a desk hating life.
How long was it before, like, since you started exercising, like, after you lost your job, until you decided that maybe it was something you wanted to pursue as a career?
after, I think, so I've been Major Dundon about a month and drank an ample amount of wine that month with friends and just realised, even though I was getting up and going to work and sitting in a sanitary job, I wasn't really doing anything. And it wasn't just that. Mentally being stuck at home, I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Having nothing to do, nowhere to go, no goals. And I thought, right, I'll go to the gym. It's a positive start. So set an alarm to get up early. Not a really dick this time, like just set an alarm to get up for the day. And decided I'm going to start writing to-do lists. It was something I'd never done. Probably should have in my job. That's probably why I made so many mistakes. But I started writing to-do lists. So it was the easiest way. I'd write down, right, like the most basic things. I'm going to get up at this time, and then I'm going to make these meals, and then I'm going to go to the gym. And mentally, every time I left that gym, I was in a better headspace.
Yeah.
And then physically, that started catching up. But the first thing you notice is the mentality that changes when you go to a gym. Then it's physically, you notice changes. But I think mentality is more important than anything, and you know, physically, because that's what pushes you to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, your mind, that's your biggest battle.
So was it that side of things that made you want to get into it as a career and to start like helping other people, or was it because you, when you were younger, you were so athletic and then you took to it again quite quickly that you thought, this is something I'm naturally good at, I'd rather pursue this?
Yeah, well, do you know what, I was sick of working in a job. I didn't want to go into another job where I was literally just in it to pay the bills. And unfortunately, I think everybody goes through a grey area like that in their life till they find a vision. And it wasn't until I got into the gym that I naturally picked it up, like I did with figure skating. And I thought, do you know what, I'm actually really good at this. And I don't think you should be ashamed to notice areas where you're really good at things in life. Like, you should take pride in that, and you should praise yourself for it. And you know what, maybe it's something that you could then work on as a career path. Alan, you put me off. Jim, I started. Where do you want to go?
No.
Well, so when I started going to the gym, I started getting a vision, not just for my goals, but what I actually wanted to do as a job. And I realised how much I loved interacting with people. Mm. And in a desk, I didn't really do that. It was over the phone. And how much of a positive impact it was having on my life, and I wanted to make that positive impact on other people's lives, and that was what made me get into it. And don't get me wrong, we all have our downfalls in our jobs and everything, things like that, but I've never loved a job the way I've loved my job now.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a job sometimes.
Do you find it easier to motivate yourself working for yourself than it was to like working for someone else?
Do you know, one thing I'll say is I've worked more now than I've ever worked in my life. The hours I work are insane, and I do get tired. And then sometimes I struggle with my own training, but knowing that you're doing it for you just every day feels like more of an achievement. Of course, you're going to have your down days and your bad days and your stress days. That you wouldn't be life, like, you know.
It would be normal not to have
Yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I lost the words there. It would be normal not to have that. But I do feel more motivated, if that's the word you want to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a word for me that I honestly don't really like too much, because people are like, I want to go to a personal trainer to get motivated. But I don't really believe it exists. Like, it's not going to land up on your doorstep one day. It's not just going to arrive. You know, we'll help you, but you need to help yourself. Taking responsibility for your life and what you're doing and what you're not doing is how to make change. You're in control of your life completely. You're one decision away from making your life better. You're one decision away from making your life worse. It just depends on the route you want to take. But we're here to guide you, and a good personal trainer should guide you, and they should be there for you out with your hours of training as well.
But do you think there's like a, it's like, obviously you could be there for someone out with hours of training, but suppose there has to be limitations.
Oh, there has to be limitations. Don't get me wrong. Like, I got a message at midnight one night, and someone was in Asda, and they were down the meat aisle, and they asked me,
yeah, what
percent of mints do I pick up? That That's where my limitations is. Like, you know, obviously just don't expect too much because we're one being and we're maybe helping 30, 40 of you. We want to help you as much as we can, but also take it upon yourself to work on your own initiative. Like, we can't spoon feed you. I don't want to spoon feed you. That sounds quite bad. I want to make sure I can help them as much as I can, but I want to make sure you're helping yourself. So, you know, making decisions out with having to ask me, it's your life, you're in control. Do what you want to do, you know, and make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
You should never have to seek approval for anyone in your life, especially not your personal trainer. You know, like, want to help you make better decisions, but it's up to you to make the right decisions too.
Yeah. Do you think that's quite difficult for people? Do you ever feel like people are, like, your clients are just trying to just do stuff to like please you, or to try and you need to remind them they're doing it for themselves?
It's a hard one.
I'm just going from my, this is from my point of view, because I know, like, for me with my own training, I like do stuff and I'm like, I hope it impresses like certain people.
But why do you want to impress them? Like, what?
Just do, it's just natural.
No, I get that. It's like, if you want to impress a girl, you want to impress a guy, you'll do a certain thing. But do it, like, this sounds so cheesy and cliche, but actually just do it for you, and you're going to feel so much more sense of achievement than just doing it for your personal trainer. Like, this is funny. Well, I found it funny at the time, but I was in a bar, and I saw one of my clients from across the bar, and she was like to her friend, oh my god, here's my personal trainer. She threw her cocktail behind her. So she wanted me to think she was in a bar, not drinking alcohol. And I was like, why would you want me to think that? Like, you know what, go out and do that. You know, don't feel like you need to stop all of that.
That's like human nature. I think that's, I was going to say human nature, but I don't think it is. I guess years of being conditioned through, like, the school system.
Yeah.
Like, we're conditioned just to always think someone's looking to catch us out. I think
I totally agree. And that's the thing, like, that's what's also bad with social media as well. Sometimes we open up too much in it.
Yeah.
And I think mentally it's not good for you. And you always think people are watching you. And so you don't realise over a period of time of how much you are opening up. It's your page, your content, post whatever you want. Just try not to make yourself vulnerable, because the world's not full of nice people. There is, but there's people out there that want to watch you fall, want to watch you fail, don't want to see you be successful, and you don't want them. You don't have to justify anything to them. Like, you know, do whatever the fuck you want in life. Just make sure you don't always post about it. I went through a stage like that for a while, of not realizing how much personal stuff I was posted. And then when it backlashed, I went through quite a bad breakup, and a breakup that really, really hurt me and put me in a bad place. The whole world knew about it. Don't be ashamed to be happy at the time, but just make sure you're protecting yourself and keeping some things private, because not everything will go smoothly.
Yeah.
But I do believe life plans everything out for you, and you meet people for a reason, good or bad. But I think mentally, the first step to improving things mentally is spend less time on social media and spend less time posting more personal stuff, and keep it more personal, and immediately you'll feel a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I've started doing it more myself, because I actually had someone that sent me a message. I decided to just come off Instagram for like a week, and they says to me, are you alive? I've not seen any of your stories. And also it made me feel good that, you know, they like to watch myself, but it made me feel like, oh god, like, I don't think I realise how much I am actually opening up and how much I am watched by a complete random across the world.
I had the same thing. It wasn't probably complete random, it was from someone I knew, but someone,
well, at least
I
care.
Yeah, someone messaged me saying, like, you've not been posting stuff on Instagram, or like just said, I've not seen you much on social media, is everything okay? And hilariously, like, things weren't great at the time when I'd been dealing with stuff, which is why I hadn't been posting a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, but even that, it was quite scary, as like my activity online was an indicator of how things were going for me, even when I wasn't engaging with it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and how bad is that?
Yeah, it's
like it makes you feel bad. Like, I have a business account on Instagram, and it shows me my insights, and it shows me my engagement of how many people view my things and how many impressions I make. And when that number goes down, I almost panic.
Yeah.
And I almost think, oh my God, like, it's almost like we're worried people don't know we still exist. But you can exist in private and enjoy things in private without everybody needing to know. But yeah, I'd honestly say for people stressing, work out what the causes are. Everybody gets stressed, everybody gets anxious, just to different degrees and severities. And I figured out straight away mine was online social media, and just decreased the amount of time I was using it and things like that, until I was in a better place. And what a difference it made to my life.
Yeah.
Huge difference. And I now know I'll never post about another relationship on my Instagram page ever again. Don't feel ashamed to do it, but I just want to keep that side of my life private.
Yeah.
Just because you don't accept shit to go up in flames. You don't. If
yeah.
you did, then we'd be prepared for it. But you're never going to be prepared for those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't prepared for that breakup. And I think months on now, it still affects me, but I'm now just, yeah, working on me, and I know what I won't post about and what I'll keep more private now.
What do you think, like, so social media obviously is a huge thing just now. I don't think anyone fully understands it, but me and you can speculate.
Yeah.
Now, where do you think it comes from, like, that? Because I know what you mean, and I think more people than would admit it do, that, like, if your followers go down or your engagement or whatever go
yeah.
down, it does affect your mood and makes you feel low. And you know you should.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like... So people say, like, in general life, that you shouldn't feel, like, guilt over your feelings. So if you feel jealous or you feel scared or, like, anything, people say now that rather than... Like, people have a negative connotations with certain emotions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, if you feel jealous of someone, you've, like, your whole life been told, oh, don't be jealous, that's bad. So it's...
But telling someone to not be jealous, that's, like, you know, that's
yeah.
like putting a cake on the counter and saying, do not touch that cake.
Yeah.
Do not touch that cake. You're going to want to touch that cake. Like, so you're, when people saying do not be jealous, almost makes you more jealous.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't have an explanation of why you feel that way, but I don't think you should be ashamed for any emotion you feel, because you feel that emotion for a specific reason. One thing I focus on now is the emotions I feel when I'm around certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm around certain people who make me feel anxious, and I never used to look at this, and it's so important, people who you think are your friends, you know, things like that. If I feel anxious or, you know, uncomfortable, then that's not right.
Yeah.
So you just need to figure out why you feel like that and work on how to feel less of it or not feel that way. But you're going to always feel that way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being jealous or envying someone. It's how much you're letting that control your life.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Do you say, like, so do you spend, like, time like consciously thinking of that, like how you feel around certain people and or like in certain situations even, like?
Totally. See, now I'm getting older. I think it's true to say, like, what my mum says, like, as you get older, you just say it how it is and give less of a shit.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's so true. And that, like, I'm 25, so I'm 26 this year, but I've really grown up in the past 2 years, and that I think it's bad to say I don't give a shit what people think about me, because I think that makes you sound ignorant, arrogant, sorry. But if you don't like me and you don't like what I'm doing and you're not supportive of me and my goals and you make me feel unwanted or, you know, like I'm doing something wrong or anxious when I'm around you, I don't want you in my life at all. And again, so cutting these sort of things out of your life, cutting ties, is what will help you improve mentally as a person. Over the past 2 years, I have cut a lot of people out of my life. It's quality over quantity any day. 100%. Always believe that saying. And I've got a lot less people surrounding me now, but that small support was way bigger than the support I had from a large group of people.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, looking who surrounds you, whether that's friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, family, husband, wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling anybody to break up with anyone here. I'm just saying, look at the way people make you feel, and you know, control that situation. You're not, like, I'm not in control of what you're asking me right now, and that's why I'm so nervous, but I'm in control of how I answer it, that and the outcomes
yeah.
that I want. I'm maybe not getting some points across where I want to, but we're trying.
So
you're in control of it.
Well, what you're saying is dump them. Is that
No. Oh my god, I'm gonna be responsible for so many breakups on Instagram later. If I remove my page, you know why. But no, I'm just saying, if those people don't make you feel good, don't bring any positive energy to your life, aren't supportive or encourage you to go out and do something ambitious, you don't need them.
Yeah.
What is too ambitious? That is the issue. You know, what's too ambitious in life?
I don't know.
Exactly. So I says to someone, I was like, I want to run my own business, to a friend at the time, and they were like, come on, you'll never run your own business.
Yeah.
You know, you enjoy going out too much, you enjoy doing this and that. I'm now 3 years on, I've got 40 to 50 clients a week. I never really need to advertise to pick up clients. My clients are staying with me long term. I now feel like I am achieving something someone never thought I would. And I guess use it as an incentive, but at the same time, don't let it push you too much. You need to be the person that pushes yourself. Don't use negatives to push you, because that's a wrong way to go about things.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to something we like sort of touched on, but I've got a question for you. I think you'd be good to answer it.
No pressure.
Sorry.
This is the shittest answer.
That was meant to be like uplifting, not
oh, thank
pressure.
You. Yeah, no, that's I'm bad at accepting compliments.
Just so am I. Just like talk about social media.
Yeah.
Like, I think I realized this not too long ago myself. There's like an inherent shame with it that doesn't need to be there with social media. So like, kind of like what I mean is, like, if you feel bad for caring about it, do you know what I mean? But everyone does.
Yeah.
But like, why do you think we have that, like? Why do you think it's viewed as a negative if you care about social media, or there's like that inherent shame? Do you know what I mean? It's like an inherent shame with it, where it's like, so if I said to like one of my mates, oh, fuck's sake, my followers have gone down by like 10 people or something, like, they would
yeah.
be like, you're a fucking saddle for caring, right? But I bet they at the same time would have felt the same, right?
Yeah, totally.
So there's this inherent
position.
It's this inherent like social shame with social media, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where do you think that comes from? Because it doesn't need to be there, but it has come with it naturally, I think. But it's not a good thing.
No, it's not. But the funny thing is, like, the people saying this have social media.
Yeah.
So I don't get it. Like, I understand, because I've had people say to me, you just care about posting 24/7, like,
yeah.
all you care is about the followers on your page. No, what I care about is having a positive impact on the people who do follow me, and if my following goes up, that's good, I'm having a positive impact. Of course, some of that following is going to be people that don't care and are slightly jealous, and I think that's where that maybe might come from some people.
Yeah.
Not for everybody, but when I've had people say that to me, I'm like, is it because you're jealous? Or what? See, through social media, when I try and post something, I'm like, how does this make others feel? Do people come away feeling positive from my page, better about themselves, or do they feel shit about themselves? Try post something. I mean, post whatever you want, it's your page. You know, I've not got control over it, and I don't think people should have control or say over it, what you post. But I just personally think, if you can post something and make someone else feel more positive about themselves that day, then you're winning, and so are they.
Yeah. So...
did that really answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't think it's a question that has a definite
answer. No.
It's just like a thing I just picked up on when I was speaking to someone else a few weeks
yeah.
ago. And I just like kind of realised that there's like all these like weird feelings associated with social media.
Yeah.
And it's such a new thing. And I just kind of wonder, where did all these like very set... sort of like, as I say, shame, or very set like
yeah.
views that are mostly negative when it comes to social media, but they're all
yeah.
they're all there. It's almost like you're fighting a battle with yourself all the time on social media, do you know what I mean?
I know. I do totally get what you mean.
Everyone uses social media sort of as well as for like all the things you've talked about, like advertising your business or having a positive impact on other people, which I think everyone, like a lot of people use social media for that as well. But I think everyone in some way use it for like for validation as well.
Yeah.
But it seems like people don't want to admit that. But like everyone's doing it for the same reason, but at the same time, no one wants to say, well, I am kind of doing it to make myself feel
and
better.
I don't think there is anything wrong with
that.
Like, do you know what? Vanity, there's such a... like, it's made out to be so bad to love yourself, to post a picture and be like, I look good, I feel great. You know, I love my outfit today. Or getting up in the mirror and telling yourself you look good. Like, why would you not want to tell yourself that? If you don't love any part about yourself, then who else is going to love that part about yourself? And it's not about other people loving you, but don't ever be ashamed to be happy or proud about how you look and shout about it. If you're being made to feel that way, then those people don't matter in your life. Like, those people make you feel bad about you feeling good about yourself are non-existent to me. Like, I know that sounds harsh.
Yeah.
But why would you want to surround yourself with people like that? Like, if it makes you feel good to post a photo on social media, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. People are like, I don't care about the likes, I don't care about the comments. If it's making someone feel a little bit better, then on you go, post 100 photos that day if it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's sad. I really don't, to make yourself feel a little bit happier. Like, obviously, you know, like... it's important to be happy without social media, but I don't think it's, you know, bad to show.
I just want to extend on your message there, that to post 100 photos a day.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, please do it on Facebook.
Maybe don't post 100 photos a day.
No, I just mean, like, I'm just speaking directly to my aunties here. Like, stop adding me to group chats.
Oh my god.
Based solely on your holiday and posting them when it's dinner time in Australia and it's 5 a.m. here. You're posting 100 photos and waking me up in the middle of the night. It's
no.
Not on Annie. I'm not going to name which Annie. You know, she knows who she is.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah,
sorry,
maybe don't post 100. Well, you could post 100.
Anyway, my next question, before I go off another Annie-based rant. So quite often on your page and on your stories and stuff, you'll post quite a lot about anxiety and mental well-being.
Yeah.
Related to fitness, but just also in general, I care. Kind of why is that? Just talk about that.
So I speak a lot about it because I feel like I've suffered quite badly from it the past few years. Crazy, like, I have always seen myself as such a positive person and never had any issues till I hit my 20s, and all of a sudden I started getting stressed, I started getting anxious, and I never knew why, but now that I'm a little bit older, I've realised why at the time, and again, it was the people surrounding myself or the relationships I was in or even the way relationships ended that had affected me, not at the time, but after it all sort of built up. So for a couple of years, I was on citalopram, which is like an antidepressant.
Mm.
And a lot of people will be on it and they can probably relate to it. I didn't feel anxious on it, but I felt shit on it.
Yeah.
I felt like I literally couldn't be me, couldn't laugh. You know, I just was never going to be me on this kind of drug.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to wean myself off of it. And I'm not saying to people, stop taking your antidepressants right now. Like, totally consult your doctor. This was just a personal decision of mine that I wanted to go by, and I chose to do. Again, I'm in control of my own decisions. I stopped taking it.
I think with, like, antidepressants and stuff as well, like...
it's a very grey area and a very scary subject to actually speak about, because people have so many opinions on it. But, you know, if you're currently on it and you choose what you want to do with that, that's entirely up to you.
But my experience with antidepressants is sort of similar to yours, where I took it, it made me feel better, or at least it took away some of the very negative symptoms I was feeling. And then it put me in a position where I decided, okay, I don't 100% like how I feel on this, so I'll come off it.
Yeah.
But I think without it, I would never have got to make that decision. It's weird.
Yeah, totally.
Like, it put me in a position where I was like, right, now I'm ready to readdress the issues I was having before, but I'm in the headspace where I can come at them head on, whereas before they were like all like on top of me. And it was
The only reason I came off of it, so I went through we'll all go to this place in our life at one point. Maybe some people not as in extreme depths, but
McDonald's.
Yes, McDonald's, that's it. We'll all definitely go there, apart from vegans. Sorry, that's a really bad joke. But they actually do a vegan burger now, by the way. Just to let you know. I went to a really, really bad place for a period of time and put my family through a lot of stress and myself through a lot of stress. And I needed those antidepressants to get me through that time.
Yeah.
And for a period of time after, till I felt in a place where I was stable. And at that time, I completely also gave up training, which probably made things a lot worse when I was in that place. But I just felt like I couldn't physically go to it. I just
yeah.
had to take day by day at a time, but just small goals. So a small goal is in getting up in the morning and just being able to face the day. When you look back at it, that's actually a huge goal, because each day you're going to progress from that and get to where you are now. Or to where I am now. So that, which seemed like a small goal, was one of the best goals I had. And then I got into a stable place where I thought, you know what, I'm ready to address these head on, like you said. I don't want to keep pretending I don't have these issues, or, you know, they're just going to go away with this magic pill. And decided to stop taking it and put all of my energy into the gym again. And hands down, I'm not just saying this because I'm a personal trainer, has been the best medicine I have ever had. That did help me through, but it's right now it's the best medicine for me, and I don't feel like I even need to look at another citalopram tablet.
Yeah.
And I'm so, so glad that I decided to take those steps when I was in a stable mind space to then come off of it.
Totally. Yes, I agree. No, I'm just like, sorry, just processing it. Like, we both sort of said the same.
Am I rambling?
No, you're not at all. We both just kind of said the same thing, like, but in our own words, you know what
yeah,
I mean? So
yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, I don't want people to say, think I'm saying, come straight off your tablet. Oh my God, the gym is the answer. That's not, you know, we're all in completely different stages in our life. That's like, on Instagram, don't compare yourself with a fitness model who is at a complete stage in her or his fitness journey to
yeah.
where you are. That's demoralizing yourself from the get-go. You know, just do you. And break down the positives and the negatives in your life. And then go from there. That's the first step to making a change, is realizing, addressing, being realistic and honest with yourself about what the issues are. And that's how you're going to progress. Not just being put on a cookie cutter diet
yeah.
and going to a gym and fucking walking on a treadmill for 24 hours a day.
What's a cookie cutter diet? You've used that phrase twice.
A cookie cutter diet. So it's a, it's been, it's you'll hear
calorie.
It gets thrown around a lot.
So last two questions. I forgot what one of them was there. It's just gone totally out of my head. Your time?
The time.
I'll ask you one more question.
Yeah, no, we've got time.
Okay, so last question was, you're maybe going to come back on the podcast after you've done your competition.
Yeah.
Speak about the experiences of that. So just introduce that for everyone so they know kind of if you come back on what you're going to be speaking about.
So my competition. So what I'm doing is, I guess, comes under the category of bodybuilding. So I've wanted to do it for a few years now since getting into weight training. My body's responded quite well to training weights and the current physique that I've created. So I am going to go on, oh fucking hell, it's so bad.
You're fine, continue.
Right, so I am doing a bodybuilding show, and I am now 5 weeks out of that bodybuilding show, and I've been with my coach since summer last year. So I wanted to work with a coach. I didn't believe I could prep myself for this, because it's completely different to your ordinary, if I can use that word to associate with it,
like
fitness goals. It's completely different. Like, I require my body fat to get to such a low level. It is unhealthy for a female. Like, our body fat should never be that low. So where am I going with this?
We talked about this a little bit before, but this is like a, it's not a long term goal, it's a short term thing.
Yeah, very well. Sorry. So I'm going to come back after my show. I'm doing a show in 5 weeks that I've been training for a period of time with my coach that I've been with since July last year. And I'm doing a category called athletic figures. So the girls have to be very, very lean, very conditioned, which means very low body fat, which means very strict diet, completely unrealistic for a long-term goal. Bodybuilding and competing is short-term goals. Yes, you'll do it over a period of time. And that program and nutritional plans will taper in with that goal in order to get you there. So I need to follow a very strict plan and decrease my calories every week, which my coach does, until I get to my body fat to that level. So it's never a plan I'd ever give to my clients who are looking to get healthier and get fitter, because that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's all... That's fine. I'll stop it there.
When is that? April 20th, did you tell me?
April 20th, yeah. I should solidly know that it is that date. But I'm unsure. I'm thinking it's April 20th. I think I'm so nervous about it. I'm just not thinking about it.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been a mental battle the past 2 years trying to get there. Like, I think I tried to do it when I mentally wasn't in a great place.
Yeah.
And it requires a lot of discipline, graft, time, focus, and dedication, and I was nowhere in that space mentally the last 2 years to do it. This year, this is the best I can hands down say I've actually ever felt in the past few years, and I'm totally going for it this year, and I feel like I can do it. So for me, it's an achievement getting through prep itself. Getting through these 10 weeks of what I've been doing with my coach is a huge achievement. Anything beyond that would be incredible. Obviously, you know, it's a vanity sport. Everybody goes in to win it. They might not admit it, but you're in it to win it. But for me, just making it through the prep and getting my physique into a condition it's never been in before is a huge achievement for me. And of course, I'm slightly competitive too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to say that in a polite way.
So yeah, we'll catch up with you.
So I'm going to catch up with you after the show and let you know how it's been in the run-up, because in the last 5 weeks, that's when things get really hard, calories get really low, training gets even more, cardio becomes even longer, sleep becomes even less. So I will let you know where I've been mentally and physically in the last 5 weeks of this after the show, and also how the show goes, which I'm really excited about.
Yes, right. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you. Hope it didn't babble too much.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode. It was a lot of fun to record that one. It was a lot of laughs with Katie. I don't know whether she enjoyed recording it. I did. We got interrupted a few times, which I cut out. I don't think she enjoyed that, and other people seen her recording. But hopefully next time she'll have conquered her fears after doing it once, shall we say. But yeah. Best of luck to Katie. I think it's the 20th of April her show is. Best of luck, of course, to her for then, and I'll let you all know how she gets on. And she'll be back on, as I said in the intro, to let us know how she did and how the experience was for her. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't have anything recorded for next week, sadly. I'm going to try and get a guest on this Saturday, probably someone that's been on before, for a bit of a catch-up, I think. Not done that. Well, I have actually done that recently, but that's something I'd like to do again. I'm speaking in almost like cryptic terms here. Yeah, I'm going to try and get someone back on. I don't know if I quite fancy doing a solo one. As I said, in a few weeks I'm going to be going to Thailand for 2 weeks. I don't think I'll be releasing any podcast whilst I'm out there, just because I don't know what it'll be like in terms of internet connection. And where I'll be at certain times, etc. So committing to it might be difficult. But I'm going to take my recording stuff, and I'm going to try and plan out some episodes to record whilst I'm over there. And also maybe just record some with the guys that I'm going over with, just about the experience and stuff, and just give you a bit of a sample of what we're doing over there. But yeah, really looking forward to that. When I come back, I'll probably do a podcast just on what Thailand was like for me mentally. I get quite anxious travelling, as you might have picked up on if you listen to a lot of these podcasts or read my blogs. I'm not going to lie, the thought of going to Thailand is terrifying for me. But ultimately, I know it's going to be absolutely incredible and something that ever since I started training Thai boxing, it's something I thought I really wanted to do. Coming a little bit sooner than I expected, not going to lie. But absolutely cannot wait. Right, next week, someone will be on this podcast, whether it's me by myself or with someone else. I don't know yet, but you'll get something. Okay, thank you so much for listening. And catch you back next week. Cheers.